All right, everybody doing okay this morning? Good. Good time being together today. I want to remind you, I guess, of a couple of things for offerings. If you want to give an offering to the church, we have the drop box out front. You can give it there, or, of course, there's giving online as well that you can give your offering to the church. And we appreciate, of course, your faithfulness to do that all this year. We also are not going to be having service tonight. We'll not be having any more evening services for the rest of the year. And then we'll pick back up again in January. And there will be no Wednesday night service either this week because of Thanksgiving. So here in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, I'm just going to read three verses this morning. And we're going to look at these three verses. I don't have a PowerPoint for you because everything that we're going to talk about is should be, I hope, very clear in this text. But the Word of God says there, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I tell you what, let's go ahead and read through the end of the chapter. "Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word. Oh Lord, there is power in your word. And Lord, I don't know how you might use your word this morning. Or what part of your word, what phrase from your word that you might use this morning to either sanctify the saints or to save the sinner. But Lord, I do pray that you will use your word today in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18, I want to just share with you 3 points from this passage, and they're all going to be laid out here very easily and clearly for us to see. In verse 16, Paul here continues to write to them, and he says, "I say them, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's the first point. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That point has 2 parts. Do you see it? The first part is this: walk in the Spirit. The second part is this: you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, so let's kind of break it down and talk about that a little bit this morning. If you'll go back over earlier in the chapter, in verse 5, as we looked at this text last week, in verse 5 of chapter 5, Paul said, in a difference to that of the Judaizers, those people who were trying to get the Galatians to be circumcised and to keep the law, one of the differences between true Christianity and that is found in verse 5. "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." So here we find the Spirit mentioned for the first time in this chapter. And that Spirit's work is to allow us or cause us as believers to eagerly wait. Every time that phrase "eagerly wait" is found in the New Testament, it's in reference to the second coming of Christ. So this Spirit of God causes us to eagerly wait, or we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So in other words, we have this hope of righteousness that is coming, that is going to be ours, and it is going to be ours by faith. In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, John there is writing about the return of Christ. And he says, everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself even as he is pure. Y'all remember that passage, 1 John 3? They're looking for the return of Christ, and they say, everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. So in other words, you can't be waiting for Jesus to return, waiting for that hope of righteousness and living a life of the flesh and of sin. The two don't match, because you will be preparing for his coming one day. It seems now Paul, from verse 5 to this passage, is saying to the church, the way we are waiting for this return of Christ, this hope of righteousness, is not by living in the flesh, but it is by living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. The idea there behind walking in the Spirit is keeping in step with the Spirit. You know, in the Gospel of John, and you might want to flip there with me this morning, in chapter 14. John chapter 14, and then I'll take you to chapter 15 as well. John 14, Jesus talks about the Spirit of God coming. And in verse 25 and 26 of the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, that word helper is a word that means paraclete, one who is an advocate, an intercessor, a helper, someone who comes along beside. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, if you'll go over to chapter 15, verse 26, he says there, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Okay, so at least twice in Jesus' teaching to the disciples, he called the Holy Spirit the Helper, the Paraclete, the one who comes along beside. Now, with that in mind, flip back over to Galatians, and we see Paul say here, walk in the Spirit, be in step with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to liken this to a three-legged race. You ever participated in a three-legged race? That's when two people are joined together, and one foot on each person, or one leg of each person might be in a bag or something, or tied together with a rope or a scarf, and then they have their arms around each other, and they're walking or trying to run, and they're trying to win the race, right? They're going along together. And they want to be in step with one another. We can take this passage here, I think in verse 16, and kind of see these two aspects. You've got the Spirit of God in the believer, and you also have the flesh in the believer. We all are flesh, right? Right, it's all there for all of us. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So with this imagery in mind, we have this three-legged race going on, and we can picture one of the parties in that, the Spirit, and the other party in that, the flesh. Because we see here that if we are walking in the Spirit, we will not do what? We will not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. That's the cravings, the desires of our sinful flesh. Now you might say, what are those? I'm not going to read them again, but you find them in verses 19 through 21. Paul lists all of these things, but he also leaves it open at the end. He lists about 17 or 18 of them right there, and at the end he leaves it open and he says the like. So anyways, it's anything that is opposed to Christ and to the holiness of the Spirit of God. So that's for point number one. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's go to point number two. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. All right, so here's the second point. Flesh and spirit are contrary to one another. It takes some real skill to come up with these points, doesn't it? First one, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Second point, the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. Picture it this way. The three-legged race is going on. The two are running well together. But the flesh part of it, instead of keeping focus on what's ahead, begins to look to the side. And let's put ourselves in a carnival setting. Maybe they look to the side and they say, ooh, cotton candy. And instead of focusing on the race, they start to lean this way. Or they look and say, oh, there's some friends of mine. I want to go see them. And they turn and they start going there. Or they say, oh boy, I'm hungry. I would love to get a hot dog. So they turn and they start to go and get a hot dog. The flesh stops focusing on what the spirit is focusing on, and it naturally does that. It's natural thing for that to occur, for the flesh to do that. If you'd look over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, I want to show you another passage where Paul writes similarly about this. In Romans chapter 7, we will start at verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He writes here and he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. And what I hate, that I do. Can I get a witness this morning? Anybody ever feel that way? Verse 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good to me, good I do not find. Verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In this passage, we at least see this. Paul, with this same struggle that he is articulating in Galatians chapter 5. As you turn back there, you see it again. In verse 17, there is this struggle, this war. Somebody told me a long time ago, as I was a young disciple learning about the things of God and walking with the Lord, they told me that the greatest battle that you will ever experience in your life is one that happens within you. The battle between the spirit and between the flesh. Why? Because the two are contrary. In the book of John, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do you see from that why it's so important and necessary that a man be born again? If you remain in the flesh and you stand before God one day with nothing but your works of the flesh to offer, you're going to be in big trouble. But if you stand there as a new creation in Christ, one who has been born again by the Spirit of God, then that's the type of person, that is the person who can stand before the Lord. In verse 17, he says, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Jesus has said that the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit gives life. Now, we all, I suppose, that you can identify with me in this, that there are things we want to do and we wish to do, and then we don't do it. Maybe something you want to do for the Lord, you want to pray more, you want to read Scripture more, you want to serve in the church more, you want to be more faithful. Anybody ever been here? You want to do more good works? Anybody ever feel that way? Raise your hand if you do. If you ever felt that way, all right, a few of us. Most of us. You know, Jesus said that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? It's weak. That's right. And we see it laid out here. They're contrary to one another, and that is the reason we don't do the things that we wish. Let's go to point number 3. Verse 18, he says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So the third point is that if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why is that important? Why is that significant to the context here? Well, as you look at this context in chapter 5, he's been laying out before them the danger of falling under the bondage of the law. Y'all remember what he said? He said things like this in verse 2, "Christ will profit you nothing." He said in verse 4, "You are estranged from Christ, severed from Christ." At the end of verse 4, "You've fallen from grace." People who are relying upon the law are a debtor to keep the entire law. You can't just pick the parts that you want. But in this part, he's talking about those who are led by the Spirit. In other words, those who fall in behind the Spirit and do what the Spirit is directing them to do, there is no law for them to be in bondage to. Why? If you look down to verse 22 and 23, we'll see this. You know the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then what does it say at the end of verse 23? Against such there is no law. I want to take you to one more passage and we're going to conclude. In 1 Timothy, if you would flip over there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 8. Give everybody time to get there. First Timothy chapter 1. If you're at Galatians, you can just turn over just a few pages, most likely, or a few books, and you'll find yourself there in First Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine," look at verse 11, "according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust." Who was the law given for? The law was not given for people who are obeying God and doing what God says to do. The law was given for those who are not. Paul said, if the law had not said, "You shall not covet," he says, "I would not have known covetousness." But the law reveals our sin. In Galatians, if you'll flip back there, verse 5, "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Paul is pointing out this marvelous thing here, that a person being led by the Spirit of God is going to do what God says to do. In another place in Romans chapter 8, we find this, that Paul again writes there. In the first part of this, he talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who's made us free from the law of sin and death. He says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." All right, our 3 points this morning are this: walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Point number two is the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another, so that we do not do the things that we wish. We need to be aware of that. Because the next time you or I don't do the thing that we wish to do, we should say, "Flesh got me again. Flesh won out again. I'm not being led by the Spirit. I'm not walking in the Spirit. Lord, help me. I repent. Help me to walk in the Spirit." And then the third point in verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Because the Spirit frees us. And when we follow the Spirit, we love one another as we ought. We love God as we ought. We serve one another in faith. And through the Spirit, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I pray and hope today that you have trusted in Christ. Because the only way for us to have that Spirit of God is if we are a son of God through faith in Jesus. If you'll look back at chapter 3, verse 26, he says in Galatians 3, 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus." And then in chapter 4, verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father,'" saying the exact same thing Jesus said when He was in the garden, praying to the Father, "Abba, Father." Let's pray together. As you hear this passage this morning, these 3 points, maybe you realize that you are in the flesh. That's all you got to offer is the flesh. Perhaps today you have come to a place to where you realize your desperate need for a Savior. And if you have, I invite you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen by Cephas and the 12. I invite you to believe this gospel. And according to the Word of God, once you've believed in Christ, the Spirit of God is given to you, so that you can now not be defeated by the flesh and live only in the flesh, but you can live by the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit, and be led by Him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus again, Lord, that You might use Your Word to convince us. And God, I pray Your Spirit would use Your Word to convince us of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.